like one.
I'll call the meeting to order for the Polk County Board of Compensation Committee meeting. I am looking for a chairman. Nomination for chairman?
I would like to nominate Mr. Norbert Hartman for chairman for the compensation committee.
I'll second that.
It's been moved and seconded to nominate Mr. Norbert Hartman as chair of the compensation committee. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Passes unanimously.
Democratic.
Oh, you didn't vote?
I didn't vote.
Okay. Are you abstaining?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Technically, the board doesn't vote for that either, because they're the only three in the compensation committee. Just. It's all one half.
We still, hey, you still got railroad.
Still a landslide.
It's a landslide.
I'm looking for a motion to approve the minutes for May 14th.
So move.
I'm not talking now, that goes.
You second?
I better second that.
Been moved and seconded to approve the minutes of May 14th. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Vote. Pass unanimously. Mr. Hanson, you want to talk about your memo?
Oh, my pleasure. Mr. Chair, members of the compensation committee, we're here to specifically talk about elected official salaries. Elected official salaries begin this process utilizing a compensation board back in 1996, I think, is when we first entered into this arrangement where the lay members of the budget committee set and made a recommendation to the full budget committee on elected official salaries. What I've given you in your packet today is a description of where our current elected official salaries are in the way of how they compare to the counties that we utilize primarily for our negotiations with AFSCME. Our DSA has a set of comparables that are different than these. They're based on statute, which requires counties of like population. So in their case, they don't include land, but they do include things like Coos County and Josephine County, which really aren't surrounding counties to us that we have to compete for and work for. So we went with going with what we utilize in the surrounding counties for AFSCME. As you can see, our commissioner's salaries lagged approximately 15.8% behind those surrounding counties. Our assessor lags by about 10.5%. Our clerk lags by a little over 18%. The same with our treasurer. She's almost at 19% behind. And our sheriff is approximately 4% behind. And then one that we should talk about is also our district attorney. If you look at what we provide, which is no supplemental district attorney, the average that those five counties supply as a supplemental is about $1,350 as a supplement to their DA, which is a state employee and is paid by the state. My recommendation consists of two options. One is the one-time fix, and by one-time fix, this is what we would utilize most likely if these positions were AFSCME or non-rep positions. We try to go by a rule of thumb with our county of plus or minus 4% when utilizing our comparables. If they're, you know, 6%, we just keep monitoring them up if they're lagging by about 6%. If they're at 8, we start to make adjustments. If they're double digits, we definitely make adjustments. And we try to make those adjustments in a one-time fix for selected salary adjustments in our negotiation process with our unions. Obviously, elected officials are not members of the union, and they are unique in the way that they are elected officials, and they answer to the people. They They aren't given, you know, time sheets, they aren't given, you know, performance reviews. Those performance reviews are done by the general public, especially if they run for office again. If they win, they win, and if they don't, they don't. And that's an indication of job satisfaction, at least by the general public, you know, at that specific time. So the one-time fix that I have is a very aggressive fix. It brings into line, in my opinion, our elected official salaries with where they should be. If you're utilizing or believe in these comparables, they are significant increases both in salary and in supplements that they receive outside of their salary. And the total magnitude of those changes amount to a fiscal level of about $40,000. The second option I gave in my recommendation is more of a transition 3-year. I only gave you year one of 3 years. What we would have to commit to is trying to fix this over the next 3 years. However, what I have found with elected official salaries, your intentions are always very good. In year one, something comes up in year two, and something comes up in year three, and those changes are never made, and you really have a blip with that first year of the adjustment, but then you continue to lag and fall further behind as time goes on, and you really never fix the inherent problem that we have, which is, in my opinion, that our elected officials are not compensated at the proper level. I've stated many times in my memos that I believe our elected officials are second to none. I deal with a lot of county administrators. Most of our meetings involve at least 25% of the time complaining about their elected officials and non-cooperation in that. We do not have that in Polk County at any level with our elected officials or our department heads, but our elected officials, even though they have a lot of autonomy, have always been team players and have really been committed to what Polk County has tried to do in the way of providing services to its public. And in that way, I commend all of our elected officials. And again, in a lot of counties our size or even, you know, obviously bigger and even smaller, a lot of elected officials aren't really worker bees. They are more figureheads than that. And I don't know if I'm telling you anything to do or don't know, but all of our elected officials are worker bees, and they are with their line staff doing the same job and making sure that their departments provide a product that, you know, they're tasked with. So in that way, all of our elected officials, even our TEA, who is a state employee, does that also as a worker bee, as I would consider. So my option two has across the board salary increases and then some modifications to the stipends. We can get into detail on all of those. A question that might arise from your discussions is, what does each percent mean in the way of fiscal impact? For every COLA for our elected officials in totality, it equates to a little less than $6,000. It's about $5,500 when you include the taxes and the PERS amount to it. So total fiscal impact for every 1% of COLA is going to be roughly about $5,500. So, you know, if you lowered the recommendation of 3 down to 2, you'd lower the fiscal impact down about $5,500. If you increased it by 1, you'd increase it by 50%.
Is that true with the increase that you gave us in the memo on health insurance?
Well, that's part of our budget hearings, but
no, yeah. I know that.
But there are things that have occurred since we met last with our budget hearings in March and April. Obviously, the biggest is the passage of the operating levy. The next biggest after that is probably the announcement of the SRS money that is occurring for the next 2 years. Then after that, you probably have in the ranking of fiscal impacts the PERS decision made by the Court of Appeals, which will impact our PERS rates, my guess is somewhere, worst case scenario, between 5% and 6% of our employer rate, which equates in real dollars to about $700,000, maybe $850,000 when it's implemented. When that gets implemented, I don't know. Worst case scenario is probably it won't get implemented until July 1 of 2017. The quickest it'll probably get implemented is, I guess it could get implemented January of 16, but I don't think so. It'll probably be July 1 of 16. They have a lot of work to do to figure out what the true impacts are, what that ruling means. They didn't eliminate all of the modifications that the legislature did. However, they took out the big boys that were making the substantial savings. So unfortunately, you'll get some retro kickback too that will influence your PERS rate. As you know, this year, beginning July 1, 2015, our rates went up about 3%, which is about $400,000+. Again, that's not all to the general fund, that's to all the county funds based on FTE and personnel costs. But in probably in July 1 of 17, you'll have another bump of 2 or 3% on top of whatever the ruling by the courts were to add that number back in. So if they wait till the 17 time frame, you could have the 2 or 3% that would probably naturally occur with PERS, along with an additional 5 or 6 because of the court ruling. So you could have an 8 or 9% bump. At that time, that would be about a $1.4 million impact a year. And you're not getting anything other than feeding the system. So I don't want to talk about that much more. I handed out a memo on the cost of living stuff. The fourth impact that we just realized and we heard yesterday are health insurance rates for Kaiser are going to go up about 5%. I think that's right. Brief the board on that. Our Blue Cross Blue Shield rates are looking like, I was hoping that we'd get down to the 10 or 12% range. It is now going to be probably 17 to 18%. What does that mean for a general employee? Essentially, the cost of insurance for that employee will impact the county between $2,500 and $3,000 a year per employee. So I built in probably a little above 6% into our health insurance increases. Now, not everyone in the county takes insurance. We have some individuals that opt out. About 20% of our workforce opt out. That's that they have secondary insurance by their spouse or whatever, so they don't need that insurance. So we don't feel the full brunt of that per employee, but we feel a hefty hit. So good news on the, you know, the levy. The SRS is kind of neutral because we're offsetting the levy by that amount, but that still was good news. The other two are cost impacts, one beginning this fiscal year with health insurance, the other being PERS that will impact us down the road, but it's a fact, it's going to impact us. So, and make the promises that we made in the levy just that much harder to maintain than that. So with that in mind, I'll get back to elected official salaries on trying to compensate them properly. The one that, you know, I've always included all the elected officials we've had in our county in our discussions. The DA is kind of the one that sits out there by themselves. In my recommendation, I still do not have a supplement in there, but if you are truly talking about equity in that, you may want to consider that. I still truly believe that compensation, because it's a state employee, should be paid by the state, but obviously we're one of three or four counties that don't offer a supplement anymore. Whether that is the right thing to do or not, it it's getting more and more difficult not to at least consider that in one way, shape, or form. But this is more of a discussion amongst you three members, and I'm here to answer any questions on my memo on that. Is it a popular memo? Probably not to the general public. You know, elected officials, you know, I don't think the general public understands what they do. And, you know, if they were not elected and they were appointed, in most cases they'd be paid more. Most of our police chiefs in our local area are paid above what our sheriff makes. Are they doing any different job than our sheriff? In most cases, they're doing a lesser job. They don't have to oversee a jail. They don't have all the other state requirements that are passed on to our sheriff, but yet they're appointed. And, you know, so if I had an appointed fiscal officer or that, rather than utilizing our treasurer, she'd get paid a lot more, I guarantee it. And if and when she ever retires and we have someone replace her, I may still have to get a fiscal officer if that person that gets elected doesn't have the qualifications. I mean, those are realities. You know, same with our clerk. She was working hard late last night on the election net. She operates her department with fewer employees than anyone around. Same with our assessor, same with our DA. All of our elected officials do their jobs and do them well, and they aren't figureheads, they are workers. So I probably never made as strong a recommendation with elected official salaries or not, but I know the political reality and I know the fiscal reality. But you can't continue to ignore it, in my opinion. So I'm off my soapbox. Okay. You guys can talk.
We'll open the floor for a discussion.
Well, first I want to thank Greg for coming in with this proposal. Last year I talked about how we should at least give COLAs, and I didn't make a lot of progress on that, but I want to argue that same point. I appreciate your offers on here, at least to look at it. I did some research, and if my research is right, over the last 6 years, even if I took the most that any department head got and added the highest ones together, in 6 years we've given them 4.5%. In the same period of time, the CPI has gone up 9.5%. So truly, over the last 6 years, our department elected department heads have 5% less buying power than they did 6 years ago. It seems inappropriate for us to continue to ask them to do the same or even more and give them less buying power. Doesn't make sense. I like proposal number one, but I don't think it's politically wise to do that right after we went to the public and asked for more money. So my preference would be maybe a little bit of a change to option two and just make those all 4% instead of 3%. And again, try to do that same kind of thing next year and the following year until we get our electeds in a range where they're equal to those that surround us. So I guess that would be my discussion on this point. I think we have to do something. So 3% is a good step, but I think 4% would be better.
4% for the first year, and then open course for the next year.
Yeah, then 3 or 4% next year, the same for the third year.
You got to remember on these salary comparisons, I'm comparing existing salaries for elected officials and throwing our proposed salary for next year on top. So those elected officials most likely will get some more. So you're never going to catch up super quick.
Well, it's
but you're going to catch up.
Cost of living was 2-something.
2.1.
So we're really only, I'm only suggesting a less than 2%, you know, pay increase, if you will, because the rest is just trying to keep up. So
philosophy or anything?
That's kind of where I was. I was thinking the first year at about 4%. See what happens.
I think at some point we can justify to the voters where 8% might be more difficult. I could justify it easily, but it'll be it'll be harder for the electorate to appreciate, I think.
Well, I guess I'm coming from a different place. So I would agree that we need to do something for the clerk and the treasurer because of how far down they are relative to their counterparts and the amount of work that they do. And like Greg said, they are working in those positions also, where I know in some of the counties, those are figurehead positions, which they don't do any work and they get that kind of pay, which is a lot higher. The sheriff is driven by law that we have to make sure that he's paid at a certain thing. So I guess I'm just having a hard time right after we come out with a levy saying we need all this stuff for public safety and all this stuff, and then all of a sudden we're going to give some huge increases. I mean, it's not going to be, I understand where you guys are coming from, it's not a huge increase, but that's not the way the public's going to perceive it. They're going to perceive it, you gave them a huge increase because it was more than the cost of living and more than the consumer price increase and all those kinds of things. So that's the thing that I'm having a hard time with. So,
what kind of number are you thinking?
I'm not thinking any number. I'm just thinking that we need to get the, we need to maybe do somewhere between option one and option two for the clerk and the treasurer, and less for the others if we're going to give the others one. I mean, that's my take on it, but that just makes Greg's job more difficult. He has to go refigure everything, but it's something that I think we have to be careful of when we go out and make a recommendation to the rest of the budget committee as to where we're going to go with this, because we could get ourselves, not us in trouble, all every elected official in the room in trouble is what we could do because of what we're doing. And I think that we have to take that into account.
Well, you know, I hear what you're saying, but when? I mean, some years there's an election we're worried about, some years we're worried about the budget. I mean, we can't just continually ask people to work for less. I mean, we can't. I mean, we've been 6 years, we've been telling a lot. So, and there's been a reason, a good solid reason every year.
If you've been in industry, sometimes you have to do that kind of thing. You have to ask people to not get a pay increase for a lot of years because the business is not there to support it. So, I mean, I look at this as a business and we're supporting it by the taxpayers' money. So we got to be careful what we do with the taxpayers' money, especially after we come out with a perception problem with this levy. I mean, I think it's there. You can argue that it's not, but I think there's a perception that, oh, you just got it passed in less than 24 hours, you're giving all these elected officials raises. I mean, that's going to come back and haunt you in everything you do going forward now. That's why you got to think about this. I mean, I'm just being politically correct, I guess, in the sense that you know what's going to happen. Everybody in this room knows what's going to happen if we do that. So I'm just saying, look at the ones that are really out of line, get them closer in line, and let's not go way overboard and do something that we're going to regret down the line.
Okay.
Not that we're going to regret. I think your whole political structure is going to regret.
Well, I definitely can remember many years when I could only pay myself less than 1% increase per year.
Well,
I know exactly what it's like out there. So what kind of numbers are you thinking for commissioners and so forth?
I don't know. I have no clue. That's why we need to do this as a committee and think about what we're going to do. I mean, maybe you give, it's, you know, you talk about 3% with option two. Option one is 8% on some of them, and on the clerk and the treasurer. Maybe we give them 6%, and then the other ones 2% or something like that. I don't know what, I mean, that's just something different than just, we're going to do this, and then next year we're going to do this, and then next year we're going to do this, and then two more years, you got another public safety levy coming out, and they're going to say, oh, well, you passed the last one, and you did all this pay increase stuff. Are you going to do the same thing again? And how are you going to answer that? Yes.
You have to. You have to in order to stay, you know, consistent with everyone else. And the cost of living. I mean, yeah, you know, that's just, I can't believe, even in private business, that you can keep your employees if you never give them a pay increase. I mean, they will move to a different business.
Not if there's nothing else to do.
That's not where we are right now. That's where we are right now. I think if I added the numbers right, 4% would be $22,000, right? 4% across the board for these elected officials would be $22,000 annual increase in our
budget. And then you add the supplement in there, you'll get the supplement changes, you'll get it up to about 26. Okay. I mean, I understand what all three of you are saying. I understand that there has never, ever been a good time. History of me being here to really give elected officials salaries a fair look. There is always something.
Yeah, I mean, that's
whether true. It's, you know, a bunch of them are running for re-election or this or that. There is never a good time to truly address
the issue.
Right. I think part of it is because of when we need to talk about it too. Obviously, right after an election, you know, we tried to make it easy on our lay members so they didn't have to come back in another time to discuss elected official salaries. But I think to better serve and to keep it not necessarily out of the spotlight, but to really talk about it and get a fair perception of where you want to go with elected official salaries, we may want to consider moving this compensation committee to another time during the fiscal year. And I would probably suggest more of a November or December when you talk about elected official salaries. That's kind of outside, I mean, again, you would have just an election in
November.
But if you did it in December, and if we could make that work, that may be, or even in January, right before I'm preparing the budget and those things. It's always that I have to keep the elected official salary status quo in my proposed budget, and then you have to deduct it from your contingency, which then makes it more painful to even address. If we already had that built in prior to the budget, then it kind of folds in a lot better. And I think you wouldn't have these issues that we have created because of reality based. We haven't had a lot of money. Unfortunately, all of our elected officials, or a majority of our elected officials, are paid out of the general fund. But we did relocate and move our commissioners. Part of the treasurer salary is paid out of management services, and the stipend that our assessor gets is paid out of management services. So we have moved about as much as we can into those other funds outside the general fund, but still, it's a big impact to the general fund contingency and management services. The one thing about management services is shared across the board versus general fund is just general health.
When does a CPIW come out?
We go usually with the Portland CPIW, you get the numbers every 6 months. They usually occur in about the end of February for the past year, and then sometime in August for the July one. We tend to always go off the end of the year one for our negotiations and that. Like I said, it was 2.1 for the Portland CPIW. The national CPI, though, was zero, essentially. But, again, there were different reasons for all of that. So, like I said, there has never been a good time or a good year to discuss elected official salaries. But this is probably the most bold recommendation I've ever made for elected official salaries. I've sat through many sessions where the compensation committee proposed one thing, we went to the budget committee, and the board said, yep. And we reconvened the compensation committee. That doesn't happen often, but it has happened in my career, and those are always interesting discussions, too. Finally, to the point where, okay, what are you willing to accept so we can move on to the real budget that we're trying to approve here? Not that you have to ask any elected official input or that. I don't want to put any of them on the spot. But you will talk at the budget committee about your recommendation. And we can make anything you want happen. I'll try to run the numbers as quick as I can to tell you the fiscal impact. But essentially, each COLA, 1% for 5,500, what you do with the stipends is going to impact by that dollar amount and those things. You don't have to make everyone the same. There's many a times that we've not had the same COLAs for our elected officials. So nothing unique that we have been discussing. So.
Well, frankly, I like Mr. Hartman's comments. I like the flexibility that he's suggesting and the differentiation that you're suggesting. But I don't have any idea of the kinds of numbers that you're thinking of.
Well, the only thing I said is I would go between, if I was going to do something, I would go like the treasurer and the clerk. Option one was 8% and option two was 3%. I'd probably go 6% on those two. And then the others, I'd go 2% on. I mean, instead of the 3% or 8% or whatever else those other ones were. Because we can always come back again next year and look at it again. I mean, that's the thing that I worry about. And I don't want to get into this where we get glad, happy, and give everybody 8% and 9% increases right after we pass this levy. I mean, I think we're crazy if we do that. We'll never pass another one. But I'll be out there fighting against it at that point in time. I mean, it would be silly to do that. I mean, because you're setting the perception of what's going on in the real world out there. That's what I would do.
And I put option one in there not to cause sticker shock, but it's the reality of where you are. Right. And that's what it takes to get you back to a more level playing field.
Oh, I understand that.
I didn't, in any way, shape, or form, think you would go with option one, but that's what it truly takes to get you back.
So your suggestion is 6% for the clerk and treasurer, 2% for the remainder.
I mean, that doesn't get them above the lower limit of where they need to be, but it moves them in the right direction, and it's not going too far overboard, I don't think. I look at the clerk and the treasurer. They've been hosed for so long, it's unreal. And what we ask them to do is a lot.
What about 2.5, just a hair above the 2.1?
Jimmy?
Yeah, I know.
You should propose that if you want to do that.
I will do that.
Okay.
Okay. I'll do 6% on the clerk and the treasurer and 2.5 on the remainder.
Is that a motion?
That's a motion.
And then the supplements would stay the way they're proposed in the option two also?
Yes.
Okay.
So these are numbers with, so your motion is those wage increases and the...
The supplements.
The stipend expenses as proposed in two?
Yes.
That's what I heard him say.
Yeah, that's what I heard. Well, I think this is 0.3% toward where I wanted to be, which is nothing, but... I'll second.
Okay, been moved and seconded. To go with 6% on the clerk and treasurer, 2.5 on the others, with the supplements as stated in Mr. Hanson's memo. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, passed unanimously.
So that is a recommendation.
That's a recommendation.
Go for it to the budget committee. And I assume that the caveat of number three on the, if I need to tweak the sheriffs up a little more just to meet law, then.
Tweak the sheriffs up a little?
It would be law.
It would be
in the caveat that.
Well, I'll have to charge you for getting my shoes dirty because I was up this morning.
So, and I assume that still plays.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
And do we want to talk this year about the district attorney and supplements and
we can talk about that, yeah.
At least give our budget officer direction that we'd like to see some kind of a supplement added in next year's budget. I don't mean 15-16, but 16-17. You know.
I view that differently. I view that as a state employee. The state doesn't pay their employees. I mean, I'm sorry with that. And I know the other counties do that, but I don't know, Larry, what do you think?
Well, I'm jumping around a little bit here. I'm thinking about Mr. Hanson's thoughts about maybe doing the compensation committee at a little different time. We might have some better information on that in the future.
Yeah, that's true.
That would be smart for us to give you some direction of what we're thinking so you could build your budget.
Somewhat of an inconvenience or imposition on you of another meeting.
Well, that's okay.
That's okay. That's not a problem. Right.
I think it would be good because that way it gets built into the budget and then we move forward from that and then we have the budget, we have the hearings and everything associated with that, and that moves that whole thing forward a lot cleaner than it is now.
I think so.
So moving it to January, December, doesn't matter.
What's convenient for you?
We'll call around and we'll notice it and all that anyway, so that's okay.
All right, good.
Okay. Any other things we need to do in the... Okay. Close this hearing then.